Hi there, and welcome to the Launch Society podcast, your ultimate blueprint for creating, marketing, and scaling your successful online business. I'm your host, Anastasia Ushakova, and I'm a launch strategist and online course consultant with experience in working on multiple seven-figure online courses, online marketing campaigns that resulted in six-figure days, and all sorts of digital products, from ebooks to online courses and VIP masterminds. And in this podcast, I'm spilling all the tea and sharing all of the strategies to build a thriving online business with you. So when you're thinking about successful online courses, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Fancy launch plans, elaborate marketing strategies, selling tactics to boost enrollments? Well, all of these are definitely important for your bottom line, but what if I told you there is a crucial component of your online course that rarely gets talked about in a launch community, but that is key to making your course wildly successful in the long run? It's the component all of the biggest players in the online course space know and utilize, and it has nothing to do with marketing or promotion. It's your course design, curriculum, and the structure of your program. So how can your course program contribute to your revenue, and what steps do you need to follow to create a stellar curriculum? Well, that's exactly what this episode is all about. Today, I'm joined by Vix Mildrew, who's a content and course strategist, ex-primary school teacher turned serial entrepreneur with experience in service-based and product businesses. Since leaving teaching in 2018, Vix has created content that's been seen by millions, has made it onto MTV's list of influencers to watch in 2017, worked with global brands like Pinterest, Microsoft, and later, and taught over 8,000 students in her programs. So she definitely knows how to create a program that gets students results. She now helps coaches and service-based businesses create transformational courses so that they can attract raving students, and in this episode, Vix went all out with tangible hands-on tips on how you can do just that. I recommend you grab pen and paper or make sure you make notes on your phone or laptop, because this episode is packed with tangible takeaways and insights. And as you're listening, take a screenshot and tag me with your biggest takeaway at It's Anastasia Ushakova, because it would really make my day. Okay, let's jump right in. Vix, thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. I'm so excited for our talk today. For the listeners in our audience who haven't heard about you yet, you are a primary school teacher turned full-time content creator turned serial entrepreneur, and your latest business endeavor, which I'm personally super excited about, the Course Confident Program, centers around designing and delivering transformational online courses. But you've also had a dating blog, a membership for creative business owners, and a marketplace for eco-friendly and sustainable dog brands. That's quite a journey. Talk about a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit more of how did you get where you're currently at?
I feel like it's been a bit of a journey to get here. So I used to be a primary school teacher, like I mentioned, and it got to like 2014, 2015. I was obsessed with bloggers, YouTube, just loved consuming content. And I had a 6-week holiday break and I was like, oh, I could start my own blog. So I started doing that. And then I had a few life events that happened one after the other. And it really played with my mental health. I found myself single for the first time in forever. So I was like, oh, I'm going to turn this into like a dating, mental health, single girl, personal development type blog. And that's where things took off. The brand work built and built and built. And it got to the point in 2018 where I was like, oh, I'm earning the same that I earn as a teacher, and I'm not getting any younger. I could give this a go as a full-time business and see what happens. And if it goes well, great. If it doesn't, I can always go back to teaching. So in 2018, I started out as a full-time content creator, and I had loads of people in my community come to me and be like, you're not the stereotypical influencer. You don't have 10,000 followers. You've just got a really small, dedicated and loyal community. How have you done this? So I was like, I love teaching. I started teaching about how to build your blog, how to grow an email list. And I just fell in love with online education. Then in 2018, I launched my membership, which was originally to help bloggers and influencers create content to build their businesses. But then when the pandemic happened, coaches, service providers, product-based businesses joined because they all wanted to learn how to use content to build these big online businesses. And we kind of grew from there. At our peak, we had over 1,200 active members. We partnered with Pinterest, RewardStyle, and ShopStyle, all of these like fantastic platforms to help teach our community how to keep building their businesses. But at the same time, I was investing like a lot into my own online learning, joining coaching programs, masterminds, doing online courses. And then at the beginning of 2021, I invested the most I've ever invested in an online program, and it was nothing like it was described on the sales page. I almost had to get my legal team involved to get myself out of the program because it was completely missold. I was talking about it with my coach and she was like, this is the problem, Vix. People are building these online courses without any understanding of how to actually teach people and how to actually help people learn. They're making all of these big sexy promises and saying that you're going to change this and change that, but then they don't have the skills to actually facilitate that transformation. She was like, you are an online teacher. You have taught so much. You always get good reviews and people love learning from you. This is what you should be doing. You should be helping course creators, coaches with the actual teaching and learning so that they can make sure that the programs they're promising people, the transformations they're promising people can actually happen. So that was that. All of 2021, I was working with online course creators, doing my market research, working with people behind the scenes to kind of figure out, as a course creator, where do you feel your confidence and your skills when it comes to facilitating learning? Where is that lacking? Over a year of research, putting it all together, understanding, this is what happens when somebody joins your program and doesn't engage, and this is how they feel, and this is how you feel. And then Course Confident was born from there.
So exciting. And before we dive into the hot topic of why course design is so important, I want to dig a little bit deeper into the one thing you said is that when you started making money off your online presence, you had less than 10,000 followers. How were you able to leverage a relatively small audience? Because under 10K is still a lot. How were you able to leverage that audience to start monetizing it?
I really focused in these early days of creating content, of really building a community, of creating really relatable content that my community kind of took in and they felt very seen, heard, understood. So I think that was the key, like at any stage or size of audience, it's almost actually the bigger the audience you get, the harder it becomes. Because when you have a smaller audience, the audience is very niche to you. They feel a lot closer. You're not attracting in loads of different types of people. It's usually people that very much relate to you, are very interested in what you're doing, especially if you do have a more distinct niche yourself. So you can connect in that more deeper way. 500 followers, 5,000 followers, 50,000 followers. The only difference is, I suppose, is amount of traffic or amount of reach your content can get. Mm. But as long as you're creating content that's always trying to connect with people, then you will be able to monetize it and you will be able to bring people into your products or programs.
Oh, I love that. If you're not able to build a connection with 50 people, how do you expect this to get better when you have 50,000 people? But jumping back on the topic of the course design, you've mentioned one sentence that really resonated with me. You said you bought into a program that you were so disappointed in, that was completely oversold, that didn't deliver or any of the expectations. And I feel like for a lot of course creators, especially first-time course creators, that's a big pain. They want to serve their audience, but they're so afraid that they're going to disappoint them. So what do we need to keep top of mind when we create our programs?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the traditional way that course creation is taught doesn't really help us, because we're taught to dump all of our knowledge onto a notepad, onto post-it notes, and then try to arrange them into some sort of logical order. And then essentially our trainings are us just regurgitating what's on our post-it notes. We're just transmitting knowledge. And then what happens to the student, not to go into it too scientifically, but information comes in and then it's only got a few places to go. It can go to our learned part of our brain, which is where we want it to go, or it can go to our remembered part of our brain, which means it's there, but we're not really using it, or we forget it. And what I see happening it with lots and lots of online courses, when we're just transmitting this knowledge, is that the students either remember it or they forget it, but they haven't learned it. Mm. Because what you actually need to be able to learn something is to action it, is to implement it and work with it. And that for me is what's missing in so many online courses. You know, it's not course creators' faults. They've been taught to transmit knowledge, to call it a course because you've spoken for 8 hours on your favorite subject. That makes it a course. That's what you've been taught. Like, it's not your fault. But the real way to facilitate learning is to make sure that your students are actually taking action on what it is that you're teaching them. And that's what they need to focus on.
Oh, I really love this. And I guess everyone thinking back to the transformational learning experiences in their lives or the courses that they took can now instantly remember that one course that maybe made a difference or a billion other courses that you sort of watched, you remember what it was about, but it just never really sank in.
Chances are, if you're listening to this episode, you're either thinking about launching your own online course or you've already launched one, but it's not quite bringing in the consistent revenue that you'd like. If that's the case, then I have something for you today, my friend, because I am about to release a free training all about how to create a stellar online course that brings in consistent revenue for your business. In this training, I'll cover the secrets to successfully launching your course, and we'll go over how to create a profitable offer even if you're working in an oversaturated niche, how you can confidently launch profitable online courses without having a huge audience, how to create consistent daily sales, as well as share my signature 4-step formula for a 7-figure course that I haven't shared on any of my channels yet. The spaces for this live training are limited, so make sure to secure a spot before they fill up. Link is in the show notes. I'd love to see you there. Okay, let's jump right back into the episode.
So let's get real tangible. What exactly makes a course design good? What are the must-haves for a transformational course?
The word transformation is the key. Again, when you're transmitting knowledge, you're not taking somebody from a point to another point. The only point you're taking them to is now they've heard more things. Course creators want to give so much value and they have so much passion to share that they think they need to create a course that takes their student from A to Z. I have to teach you everything you want to know about this, everything. But actually, truly transformational courses is where you understand where your student is right now. They may not be at A. They may already have experience. So understanding where they are right now and where it is they want to get to in the shortest amount of time possible. What's their quick win? What's something that they can actually take away action and do that's really realistic? And then there's your transformation. How do you get them from there to there? That for me is really, really key, is really plotting out where you're taking people from and to, and trying to avoid the temptation to tell them everything and give them everything. Another part of it as well is just eliminating overwhelm. As adults, we don't have the time or the energy to sit and listen to 12 hours of video without doing anything. So absolutely
not.
It's not accessible. It's not reasonable. So we want to make sure when we're building our online courses is that we're making everything as short and snappy as possible. You know, some things will take longer to explain and longer to model and longer to practice, but the shortest we can keep people's attention for and actually really keep it pacey, keep it engaging is key so that people don't start tailing off, getting bored, losing their motivation, and then dropping out.
I love that. And I feel like this is true for course creators and generally speaking, all service-based businesses, because once someone gives you their hard-earned money and you're like, well, I've got paid, so I better make it worth their money, and you dump all of your knowledge on them. And sometimes people don't even need that, and they're getting even more overwhelmed than they were at the beginning, and you're actually doing yourself and your clients a disservice. So I really love that you mentioned that. But on the flip side, we've talked about the must-haves for a transformational course. What are some of the most common mistakes that you see course creators make, the absolute no-goes that no one talks about?
It's absolutely that knowledge transmission side of things. And to go even further on that, we've all downloaded those courses where the course creator comes up and they're in a video like this. There's no illustrations, there's no animations, there's no writing, there's no pictures. It's just their head talking for 45 minutes, an hour. Not only is it super inaccessible to all of the different learning types, sorry to say it, it's just plain boring. People are going to zone out. It's just not going to hold attention. So I definitely see that as one of them. I also see in this, again, this is how course creation has always been taught, about shoving in 70,000 extras. You have to have 12 worksheets and 49 mini courses inside a course. And you have to have all of these checklists and workbooks and templates and all of this stuff shoved in to almost justify the price of the course or to give extra value to your audience. And actually you're doing the opposite, because us as humans, when we're presented with all of this information, all of these different options, all of this things that we feel like we have to access, if we don't download everything and use everything, we actually feel like we're not getting our money's worth. But it's also just super overwhelming. We've joined this program because we want to have one transformation. We want to change our state on this one thing. And now you're telling me I won't be able to do that unless I've completed 17 workbooks and 400 checklists. Like, and that's just going to be a no, I can't do this right now. I haven't got the time, energy, capacity to do this right now because you totally overwhelm me. And then it gets what I call stuck on the later base. I'll come back to it later. And then you never do. The reason why I see this as a big problem for students of online courses and the educators of online courses, like if you're a student and you've invested your money into something and you just shove it away, never to look at it again, how are you going to feel about that course creator? You're going to feel like they wasted your money. You're going to feel like they've totally overwhelmed you, and you're going to feel like it's their fault you haven't got results. Now, those things may or may not be true. But as an educator, you're now faced with a student who invested money in you and now feels disappointed or feels overwhelmed or feels like you've made them feel bad that they can't be successful in this right now. And this is just not the vibes that we want to be creating. And this is not the kind of reputation we want to have as educators. We want our students to come into our programs, immediately experience a win, immediately feel seen, heard, supported, and like it's not going to take them 400 years to achieve this thing and they can actually do it, kind of empowered. And we want them to feel the opposite of overwhelmed. We want them to feel like, oh, yes, this is going to help me. I'm actually going to be able to do this. So yeah, that is definitely a biggie.
Absolutely. I love that you mentioned it, because one of the selling points that a lot of course creators use is that you save money and time by purchasing a course because you're downloading someone else's experience and it's basically like a shortcut. But if that shortcut, like you said, involves 100 different worksheets that are really non-essential, well, that's not a shortcut at all. And you can only ever trick your customer once. Right? Once you disappoint them, once you let them down, you're never going to be able to upsell them into your other offers. You're never going to be able to keep them in your product universe. They will go looking elsewhere. So I really, really love that point. But for course creators who are listening to this now and they're like, okay, I got this. I need to take care of my course design. Or maybe they already have a course. How can they actually tangibly test whether their course is designed correctly? Is it through beta testing? Is it following a checklist, checking their course against the benchmark? How can they know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different ways. For a course creator that's doing this for the first time and is reflecting on this the first time, what I would encourage them to do is to look back at the feedback or any data they have already about the course. Monitor where it is your students are dropping off. I worked with somebody last year who came to me and she was like, Vix, like the program, I'm so proud of it. It's enrolled over 100 students now. I get such great comments and feedback, but it all stops at module 3. And at module 3, more than 50% of them drop off. I don't get any more of those messages of people being like, I'm in so-and-so's program and it's amazing. And this is really good data to have, because it either means they've probably taken enough and have achieved their transformation within those first three modules, or it means that module 3 wasn't really relevant to them, wasn't really interesting to them. Or it means that at module 3, you might need to implement a quiz or a feedback survey or have a live call or implement a milestone or something to re-engage them so that they then complete the rest of the course. So if it's your first time kind of thinking, okay, I just really want to make sure that my course is engaging people, have a look at the feedback, have a look at where people are dropping off, have a look at when that good feeling of the program starts to slow down. Implement some feedback surveys at the beginning, middle, and end of your program and any other times that it's kind of necessary or appropriate, I suppose, to see where people are saying, oh, I really love this and this, but this, I fell behind here, or I felt like this here, or da da da, because that sentiment will help you see maybe, okay, I might need to put some tweaks in here.
That's so true. Also, the courses I worked on previously, they all had this threshold after which students were just not involved, not engaged. And, you know, as we're talking, I can practically hear a service-based business owner, an agency owner, a freelancer pulling their hair out, screaming, oh my God, I have to create a course. I have to care about course design and I have to launch it. I don't have a full-fledged marketing team. How can I balance both without burning out or working 20 hours a day?
And this is, again, the reason why I'm such a big proponent of course design, because here's what I see a lot is course creators are told, launch your program first. Before you've built it, launch it. And so they go out there and say, I'm going to do this amazing program, and it's called this, and it's got 12 modules, and it's got a Facebook group, and you get a one-to-one, and it's got these worksheets. And they really exhaust themselves. They feel like they're shaking their audience and saying, buy this course, like it's got so much value in it. Like this is what you're going to get. And it's going to be so good for you. But those sales aren't coming in. So they feel like they have to make more content. Oh my gosh, don't you understand? You get a free Facebook group, you get all of these templates, and I'm going to give you a 72-month payment plan and da-da-da. I see them exhausting themselves, getting frustrated and like, I've put so much love and passion into this idea for this program and nobody's getting it and my message isn't landing. And then the marketing feels harder. Whereas when you design your course first, when you understand the true transformation of the course, and you understand where you're taking your students from and to, and you know what your students are going to take away if they complete the whole course, the marketing of it becomes so much easier. Now, this isn't to say you have to create all the materials and record all the trainings first. No. But if you design your framework and you design your transformation first and that kind of learning journey, so you know what your students come away with, when you market your course, you're going to do it so much more confidently because you're going to say, like, this is the transformation. This is what you're going to get. And that is what makes people sign up. They don't actually care about the calls and the bonuses and what platform it's on. All they care is, what am I going to get from this? And you don't know that until you've actually designed it. So that's what I say. If you don't want to get yourself into that burnout kind of thing of where you feel like you've got to create this huge launch plan and you've got to create, you know, because this is the other thing, I've got to do 12-hour long videos and I have to make 56 resources. Well, yeah, you are going to get burnt out. But if you design your program from the transformation and actually you realize you only need 4 modules and maybe a weekly live call and you actually don't even need a community and you can create each live lesson as you go, well, then you've got so much more space for your launch.
Are you enjoying this conversation? Then you will absolutely love my bi-weekly newsletter. That's where I share all of the latest strategies that I try with my actual clients, a behind-the-scenes look into building and launching online courses, as well as insight and tips that I just don't share anywhere else. If that sounds interesting, the link is in the show notes below. I pinky promise to never ever spam you. You can unsubscribe anytime. Okay, let's jump right back into the episode.
Circling back to delivering that transformation for your students, is it a one-off thing where you've rejigged or created your course with all of the right things in mind and then it's good to go forever? Or do you need to update it regularly and check in regularly?
Yeah, I do think so. And I think, again, this is another misnomer from how course creation is taught, in that it's passive income and you could set yourself up your course once and never look at it again. And yeah, that's all well and good for the educator. Oh yeah, I put like 6 hours of work in now and then I never have to look at it ever again. But that's not good for your students, because the learning may change and evolve. It may get outdated very quickly. If you don't make time to go back and look at the actual curriculum and the lessons, you may be teaching something that's really irrelevant, and then you feel like you've suddenly got to create all of these new bonuses to add in. So I do think if you're entering into the course creation business and you're trying to make it a big revenue earner in your business, that you do need to put in quarterly, monthly, however long that you want, time to reflect on it and go back over the feedback, those feedback loops that you've built in. What are these students saying? What have this cohort said versus this cohort? What's different? And just look at it that way and just vow to yourself that every few months, you're going to go in, you're going to make sure that it's still engaging, that the students are still moving along as you want them to, that the resources are still all up to date, that the trainings are all still super relevant and engaging. And if you've got the time and capacity and you want to improve them even further, brilliant. And then once you've got your whole systems in place, that's how you can turn it evergreen. And that's how you can make it more passive, sure. But it doesn't mean set it and forget it forever.
Absolutely. I always like to say that the online course model is passive-ish, mm-hmm. because it's the biggest lie that you create it once and never have to touch it again, whether mm-hmm. that's course design or rejigging your funnels or your marketing messaging. I mean, you could, but you would be leaving money on the table. And like you said, you'd be doing your students such a huge disservice. But for the listeners in our audience who are listening to this podcast right now and like, okay, I want to upgrade my course. I want to make it more valuable. I want it to make it better. How does your program, Course Confident, help your students create stellar courses. What areas do you cover? How do you help them? How long does it take? Tell us all the juicy details.
Yes. Okay. So it's broken down into four main sections. So we've got design, launch, deliver, reflect. So the design module, that is where you're going to do that design piece that I mentioned earlier, where you're going to map out your transformation, you're going to map out your framework, map out all of your modules. Using my kind of really simplified way of putting a framework together, so that then you can launch it. You can pre-launch it and say, this is coming, and I'm so confident to tell you all about it and to create all my content about it, because I truly understand exactly what you're going to walk away with, the outcomes that you're going to get, the transformation you're going to get. I love it. I'm excited by it. I'm confident in it. And now I can't wait to share it with you. So then in that launch module, that's giving you some of those tools to be able to do that, to attempt a different type of launch depending what you want to do. Is it a live launch? Is it a webinar launch? Is it like a quiet, lazy launch? We can have some different options in there. And then in the deliver section, that's when we talk about the more nuts and bolts of the program, the stuff that people often think they need to worry about first, but you actually really don't. You need to do all of the designing first. Once you've designed it, then you can figure out, do you need a Facebook group or not? How much is it going to cost? Or how much are you going to set the investment at? How are you going to facilitate any live calls if you want to add live calls? How are you going to facilitate feedback from your students and encourage them regularly to give feedback? How are you going to make it even more engaging, make it even more motivating to work through? That goes in the deliver module. And then at reflect, that is after you've designed it and you've launched it and you've run it for the first time, whether it's a live program or you started enrolling students, if it's an evergreen pre-recorded program, then I give you the tools to be able to do that kind of self-audit. So you'll have the tools to be able to go back and look at your course every so often and kind of audit it against those teaching and learning standards that you can say, yes, it's super accessible. Yes, my students are onboarded correctly. Yes, I have a plan in place for their offboarding. Yes, I have all of these things. And then that's yours to then keep. You will be able to create any course or program you do in the future using the same method and using the same kind of reflection thing. And then you get my support weekly as well. You can have a support call. You can ask questions. You can submit your course designs and your course materials, and I give you one-to-one feedback. So I just really wanted to design it in a way of like, well, exactly like you said earlier, it's saving you the time and money of Googling how to put a course together or investing in a course creation course that only teaches you how to market your course. It doesn't teach you how to design it. And then you're still left there going, oh, how do I actually put this thing together? It's designed to kind of help you with that side of things.
Awesome. And for people who are like, yes, I'm on board, where can they find you? Where can they find the program? What's the best place to reach you online?
Yeah, so I've got two Instagrams. I'm either at Vix Meldrew, and that's the same on TikTok as well, actually. Or you can come to @courseconfident.co on Instagram, and the website is courseconfident.co.
Super. Thank you so much, Vix. I really enjoyed our talk, learned a ton, and I really think our podcast listeners did as well.
Yay. Well, yeah, drop me a message if you're listening to this episode so I can get to know you. And thank you so much for having me.
Wow, this episode was really packed with goodness, right? So I'm curious, what was your biggest takeaway and which takeaway are you going to implement first? Make sure to send me a DM at @itsanastasiaushakova over on Instagram or tag me in your stories, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And if you found this episode helpful, please rate, review, and subscribe to help even more people find The Launch Society. Thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.